Felt like the way Pam said she could see was a little bit calling out Calvin. Like, no, I can see. It is wonderful to be back with you. We had a wonderful trip, and we were also ready to be back. Most of all, to you. We missed you while we were gone. And we missed being able to journey with you. Now, you'll note that upon returning, I thought, what's the most American sermon title I can give something? And so I picked from the second greatest NASCAR movie of all time, Talladega Nights being the first one, obviously. But Days of Thunder being the second greatest NASCAR movie of all time. For Rubbin is Racing. If you've never seen Days of Thunder, I implore you, it's some of Tom Cruise's best work. Take that for what you will. It is, it's a movie about racing cars around a track that doesn't end, which is what all of NASCAR is about, essentially. People who are really into it tell me it's kind of like a soap opera. You get invested in the families, and the, you know, Stefano always wants to turn Marlena into a zombie on the NASCAR track. But there's this great line where they're out running around the track, and it's early on in Tom Cruise's career as a professional, and he's out there, and he's the young upstart, and as he's going, he gets bumped. Well, it's not bumped. They clarify. It's not bumped. He gets rubbed by another car. And this line comes out that says, rubbing is racing. And what that always means to me is that it's not all pretty, right? Like, you would like to think that life is all joy and sunshine and that racing is all about staying in your own lane and driving around. But in reality, it's all about bumping each other and trying to mess the other person up so you can win. And so sometimes it's each other who bump. Sometimes it's life itself that throws obstacles at us and we find ourselves out of sorts. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the Psalms because they have been for thousands of years a book, a collection of emotions that help us know we are not alone and that we are part of a creation by a God that is destined for relationship. And that means the totality of human emotion, not just the good stuff. There is a story that Elizabeth Gilbert, the author, tells about the worst wedding toast in the history of weddings, where a guy stands up, and it starts out normal enough, and he stands up and he clinks his glass, and everybody raises them, and he says, I was thinking on the flight about what to say today, and I thought about how this is such a special and beautiful and powerful day. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But this is a joyful day, but what I really want to talk about is jury duty. And then goes on to describe his recent experience in jury duty in a capital punishment case. And slowly all the guests are putting their glasses down. And he's just talking about trying to decide who gets to live and who dies. And he ends 5 minutes of talking about jury duty, which is way too long for a toast, with, that was a sad day, not like today. So here's to the couple, and sets down. At the end of the story, she says that she's heard it said that humans really are very bad at distinguishing between positive and negative events. All we can do is feel the earth tremble. The Psalms are a source that help us understand where we belong in the larger picture. They help us understand that some things are not awesome. Some things are bad. We experiencing them. I'm a little jet lagged, by the way, so I'm going to give you the best English I have today. We experience them as bad, though they also somehow belong to the God who is good. And so sometimes all we can do is join centuries of people who have come together to sing, thanks be to God, let us lift him up high, and where are you, God? How long will you stay absent? Walter Brueggemann is a phenomenal Old Testament scholar and provides a framework that I want you to understand about the Psalms. We'll be talking about them for a few weeks. The Psalms fall into three generally big categories. Some of them are, as Patsy mentioned, psalms of praise. Some of them are thanksgiving. Some of them are cultic in their nature, meaning they describe a particular act of worship. But the three major categories of all of them are psalms of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. Okay? Orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. Why does that matter? If you have not figured it out yet, being alive is about disorientation. We all start out someplace thinking something, having some idea of how the world is supposed to work that either we have just internally decided upon, or more likely than that, we have been formed and shaped by the people around us, that this is how the world is. And then if we are honest and we live big-heartedly and open-heartedly, we get out and we get wounded and we are suddenly disoriented. The way things are supposed to be are not the way that things are. It is a necessary step to a properly oriented life to go through the valley of death. In Christian circles, when you enter into the faith through the public act of baptism, we say it this way: buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Well, buried means dead, and there is nothing more disorienting than that. So, what do we do? How do we have a faith that is authentic? What is amazing is that we are invited into a relationship with a God who can handle the entire range of the human experience. You know those dark places in your life that you don't want me to talk about? That I don't want to talk about? That we don't want to shine light into because we're afraid of what they might look like if we actually got a good look at them? Even those spaces of utter darkness belong to God. And they are most properly understood in relationship to the community of God and relationship to God, God's self. What's that mean? It means one of the things that we have to embrace as followers of the one who became one of us, and one of the distinctives of our faith, is that we say Jesus, who was fully God, was also fully human, which means that God gets us. And if God gets us, then it's time to stop pretending like we have it together. It's time to cry out with the psalmist in Psalm 13, who starts off with a very angry Yahweh. In the Hebrew, it's not Yahweh, it's Yahweh. What's wrong with you? Where are you? So many of us, when we face trials, turn to other things. I am one of those people. Sometimes we turn to gossip. Sometimes we turn to bitterness. Sometimes we turn to addiction. Sometimes we turn inward. I'm not saying that those are all... Well, no, I will say it. All of those things are a poor substitute for turning upward. When we are broken, we go to God. When we are broken, we are honest with each other. We can't make it alone. When we are broken and the world stops making sense, we don't hide. Because the hidden spaces are the ones that turn dank, mildewy. Now, what happens when you hide stuff in the dark? It grows mold. Particularly in Alabama, where even when it's not raining, it's raining. I want to be a part of a people of faith. I want us to be more of who we already are, people who don't hide our shadows, but understand that everything belongs. Because unless we do that, unless we're honest with each other and with the world about our struggles, and most of all, honest with God, then we don't get to the place where we are reoriented, where we come through and say, yet my soul praises the Lord. Here's the tricky part. When we read a psalm like Psalm 13, we read an angry bit, and then we read a pleading bit about, God, these people are saying junk about me. Could you please do something? My enemies are standing over me. And then we read a bit at the end about, Yahweh, you're great. But we don't know how long it takes between where are you, God, and Yahweh, you're great. We read it in 10 seconds, what might have taken 10 years. That's why we need each other, to hold each other up in those intervening years and say, hey, I know your mess. My mess looks a lot like your mess. And God is still God, even when you don't feel him. It's a lot easier, by the way, to just pretend that we have it all together. It's a lot easier to pretend that we are nice people most of the time. Well, it's a lot easier to pretend like we're the hero of our own story all the time. I have never made a mistake in my life. Boy, man. That's what we say when we're not honest with God and each other. Because the place we're being called to be is this Psalm 100. In the Psalms of orientation, by the way, they're much more specific. They're much more about historically what God has done in creation. By the time you get to Psalms of reorientation, they are more like, we believe that God is good and we will praise God all the time, even though sometimes it doesn't seem that way. That's where we're called to be, in this place where we are awakened and alive to the idea that God loves all of our mess. You know those Facebook posts you wish you hadn't made? You know those underhanded comments that weren't quite quiet enough? Oh, well, let's not even get started with Jesus, which says, if you felt it in your heart, it's the same thing as doing it. Even those ugly spots, those blemishes, belong. Not everybody gets that. Not every Christian church gets that. Not every other religion gets that. That who you are belongs. And I'm tired of exclusion. And I'm tired of pretending. And I'm tired of our faith being weakened by our lack of witness, where we say, all of me. Yeah, even those parts you saw. All of me belongs. There is a world that doesn't know the Psalms. I mean, they know them. They can quote Psalm 23. They've been to enough funerals. They've been raised in the South enough. They ought to know what they are. There is a world, though, that doesn't get that this is our story. A story of a people who are imperfect and yet come together to sing that God is God and God is good. There's a world full of people who have been told their whole life, verbally and non-verbally, that they are not good enough. Enough. That's not the gospel. That's not the God who created us for relationship. When Adam and Eve were born into the world, one of the things that story tells us is that they were, as we say in the South, naked. They didn't have no pants on. All of them was bare before the Creator, and it was good. But the minute they got inside their own head, they had to hide who they were. When all along, God has been saying, stop hiding. I see you. I see your mess. And I still love you. And I am still God. And sometimes you will get bumped, and it may take a while till you see how I am working. But I am working. And your call is to just praise the name of the Lord. Amen.